Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Last week, we heard in the gospel lesson from Luke, Jesus teaching his disciples about faith. And in this series of chapters 17 and 18 in Luke's gospel, he does a lot of this, teaching his disciples about faith. And one of the things Jesus taught last week was that faith isn't a matter of quantity. A lot of times we catch ourselves like the disciples saying, Lord, increase our faith. We want to know, can we have more faith? Do we have enough faith? Jesus taught his disciples that faith isn't about quantity. It's not about how much faith a person has. Rather, the thing with faith is who or what are you putting your faith in? And Jesus, as he was teaching them, said, if you're putting your faith in God, the maker of heaven and earth, then even if your faith is as small as a mustard seed, God will do incredible things through it. Jesus last week also taught his disciples that at the end of the day, we should respond in faith humbly and simply saying, we are unworthy servants. We have simply done our duty. We shouldn't go looking to God to receive thanks from him for doing what he's called us to do. Instead, what we learn is that our faith responds in thanks to God for what he has first done for us. And this is what we see illustrated in this encounter Jesus has in the gospel reading for today, this encounter with the 10 lepers. 10 are healed, and yet only one returns, shouting at the top of his lungs his thanks and praise to God for what he's done through Jesus Christ. And of course, as we hear this gospel story again, we wonder what happened with the other 9. Why was it that only one returned? And we can't help but thinking of ourselves in these situations. If we were in their shoes, we wouldn't be like those 9. We'd be like the one who returned. We're quick to point fingers at them and say, we wouldn't do that. We would be the one who responded in gratitude. We're quick to do that, not realizing that so often, when we're honest with ourselves, we often look a lot more like the 9 than we do the 1. There's a story about a guy who had gotten lost in the woods, and after he'd found his way out, he was in the pub with some friends and he was telling them this story. He was walking down this trail and he had heard what sounded like a waterfall. And so he'd gotten off the trail because he wanted to see this thing. And after about 15 minutes hiking, he didn't find the waterfall that he thought was there. He realized he needed to turn around and retrace his steps. And so for the next hour, he walked looking for the trail. And he didn't find it. And he told his buddies as they were sitting there, you know, it was after about an hour I realized that I was lost. I couldn't find this trail again, and I began to panic. And I did something that I haven't really done very often before. I fell on my knees, and I began to pray. And his buddies, who knew the man well, they said, well, did God answer your prayer? The guy said, nah, before I finished, before God even had a chance to answer my prayer, a ranger came along and find me and showed me the way out. Now, we hear that and we realize, well, this is an incredible story. God has answered the man's prayer even before he finished asking, even before he finished making his request. And yet the guy didn't recognize it, didn't even see it. And so often we're like that guy lost in the woods. We don't realize and recognize, we don't respond in gratitude to the gifts that God gives us every day. If you don't believe me, now think of this. We all woke up this morning to a beautiful fall day. How many, and we won't do a show of hands this morning, but just think in your minds, how many of you consciously thanked God as you saw the sun shining brightly this morning? Every day we wake up, every day the sun is shining, it's a fixture in our lives, it's there all the time, and because it's there all the time, I know I do this. I take it for granted. And worse than even taking these blessings of God that are out there for granted, I take for granted that God has given me the reason and the senses to even enjoy and experience the creation that God has made. We wake up in the morning, we eat the same cereal, and we grumble, thinking to ourselves, man, Cheerios again? Not realizing that there are a lot of people who would love to be in that situation, to grumble about having something to eat. We complain about our jobs, going to work. But there are many people who would love to be able to complain about going to work, or love to be able to have the energy, the physical strength to go to work at all. We bemoan the fact that we just don't have enough money, not realizing that we spend probably more on entertainment in a given month than most of the world earns in an entire year. In these and so many other ways, we're so much more like the nine sometimes than the one leper who returned and responded to God in thanks for what he had received. And what we see is that the only proper response in faith to God for all of the gifts that he's given us is thanks. And in this account, this encounter Jesus has with the 10 lepers, there are kind of four simple lessons on faith that we can draw out for ourselves. The first lesson is this. We should acknowledge that before God, we are exactly like those 10 lepers were before their encounter with Jesus. So we should acknowledge before God that we are separated, lost, unclean before him. Now, leprosy in Jesus' day was probably one of the most dreaded diseases, especially for an Israelite to encounter. It was similar to cancer in our day. We all dread going to the doctor and hearing that C word come out of his mouth or her mouth. It was the same in Jesus' day with leprosy. Leprosy was a skin disease, and what that meant was that it was really difficult to hide. You couldn't really hide from others the fact that you were suffering from this condition. And what made the condition worse still, worse even beyond the physical symptoms of the disease, was that leprosy was something that made an Israelite ceremonially unclean. And what that meant was that if they had leprosy, they were ostracized, separated from their community. They couldn't be with others for fear of spreading that leprosy, contaminating them. And so that diagnosis of leprosy meant far more than just the diagnosis of a disease. It meant that you were going to be cut off your community. It meant that you were going to be cut off and separated from your friends, from your family. And this is why in the story of the 10 lepers, as Jesus was entering this town, the 10 lepers were standing far off, calling for mercy. Because it was literally illegal for them to come closer. And this is how God wants us to see ourselves, to acknowledge that before God, without Christ, we are all in the same condition, separated from him. And whether you realized it or not, you've actually already confessed this once this morning. It's so important that we've woven this acknowledgement of our state before God without Christ into our worship service. So at the very beginning of every service, we begin with this time of confession. We confess that before God, we are by nature what? Sinful and unclean. We confess that this is by nature who we are, sinful and unclean, lost and separated from God. And nothing but an act of God himself can change that situation. Nothing but an act of God himself can cleanse us from our sin. You see, this is the first lesson that we gather from this account. The faith responds with thanks when we realize just how lost we are, just how unclean we are apart from God. The second lesson is this. We should do as those lepers did, all 10 lepers did. They called out to Jesus, the Master, for mercy. You see, unfortunately, while we all have this sinful condition, Many people proudly assert that they're not so bad. We do this ourselves sometimes. It's that popular phrase, well, sure, no one's perfect. Okay, so maybe I don't have it all together. Maybe I sin occasionally, but hey, no one's perfect. This was what happened time and time again with the Pharisees. They just didn't see themselves as all that bad. And the problem with that is that when you see yourself as not all that bad, you don't really need a Savior. And so for the Pharisees, many of them missed Jesus because they weren't looking for him to begin with. But the lepers, they were different. And this is the one thing all 10 of them got right. They knew their condition. They weren't saying, well, sure, we've got leprosy, but it's not that bad. They knew how badly they had it. And so when they saw Jesus standing far off, coming their way, they began to cry out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They appealed to the one who they knew could help them. And we do this in our time of confession as well. We don't simply just acknowledge our sinful condition before God. We make our appeal to God through Christ. We understand, God, only your Son, Jesus, can heal us. Only he can cleanse us. And so on his behalf, have mercy on us. And this is what we do. Faith responds with thanks when we see how great God's mercy is for us in Jesus. We recognize that it's not something we deserve, but it's something that he freely offers on his behalf for us anyway. The third lesson you can pull out from this gospel story is that when it comes to faith, seeing isn't always believing. Seeing isn't always believing. One of the remarkable things in this healing, this encounter Jesus has with the 10 lepers, they call out for mercy. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They're looking for cleansing, for healing from their leprosy. And what does Jesus say? He says to them simply, go show yourselves to the priests. He tells them to go and show themselves to the priest before they have seen any results, before any healing has taken place. And to understand just how incredible that command of Christ was, you've got to realize that when it came to leprosy for an Israelite, when they were thinking that they were cleansed from leprosy, they had to go and show themselves to a priest, and the priest would either confirm that they had been cleansed, that they were free of leprosy, and they could rejoin the community. Or else the priest would say, well, no, you still got it. You need to stay separated and cut off from the community. And so before they had heard anything, before they had seen any results, Jesus tells them to go and show yourself to the priest. It's actually kind of similar to a healing of leprosy that had occurred many years before in Israel when Elisha was the prophet. The commander of a foreign nation, Naaman, was suffering with leprosy. And he'd heard that there was this prophet in Israel, this prophet of God who could do something about it. And so Naaman goes, probably against his better judgment, to this foreign nation. He goes and he finds this prophet and he stands at the door expecting the prophet to come out of his house to maybe wave his hands over the spot of leprosy and cure it, or to maybe give this long, eloquent prayer so that he can be healed. But the prophet doesn't even show his face. He sends a servant out to him. The commander of a foreign army being addressed by the servant of a foreign prophet. And he's told simply, go, wash in the Jordan 7 times and you'll be healed. And Naaman kind of storms off, and it's only one of his servants that convinces him, well, look, if the prophet had asked you to do something great, wouldn't you have done it? So Naaman goes and he washes 7 times and behold, he is cleansed. His flesh is like that of a young child, smooth and clean once more. Jesus does something similar here with these 10 lepers. He tells them before they had seen any healing take place, go and show yourselves to the priests. It's a test of faith. And they went. And we're not told exactly what happened as they were on the way. You can imagine maybe they began to argue. One of them saying, well, this is ridiculous. Why would we go and show ourselves to the priests like this? They're just going to laugh at us and send us away. Maybe one of them responded like the servant of Naaman. What have we got to lose? We should go anyways. All we know is that these 10 lepers went. And as they were going, they were cleansed. They began to see that the leprosy, the spots on their skin, vanishing. And to grasp kind of what must they have felt like there in this moment for these 10 men as they realized they were cleansed. I mean, imagine that you've just heard that awful C word from the doctor. You've received your diagnosis of cancer. Now imagine in a subsequent visit you go back and the doctor's looking at the test saying, I don't know how to explain it. I don't know what's happened, but the cancer is gone. Can you imagine that sense of relief? That sense of the weight that has been pressing on your chest for those days or weeks when that cancer diagnosis is hanging over your head is suddenly gone? This is what these men must have experienced, and only one returned. All 10 cried out to God for mercy. All 10 received this healing, and yet only one returned to give God thanks and praise at the feet of Jesus. When it comes to faith, seeing isn't always believing. Which brings me to the fourth and final lesson that you can pull out of this gospel lesson for today. We should all respond as the one leper did. We should respond in thanks for what God has done for us. See, while 10 men prayed, only one returned to praise God. And for whatever reason that is, you look at the ratios, all 10 received this gift from God that they were praying for, and only one came back. So of this population, only 10% responded to God with thanks and praise. For whatever reason, so often we wind up doing exactly the same thing. So often we find ourselves kind of like the guy that was lost in the woods. We turn to God in those moments of desperation. We turn to God when we realize that, okay, God, I can't do it. Whatever this situation is, I'm giving this to you. We turn to God in those moments of desperation. And then when God actually answers our prayer, when God gives us the thing that we're asking for, we breathe that sigh of relief. Okay. And then we just go on about our daily lives as if nothing spectacular has happened. See, faith responds to God with thanks for what he has done for us in Christ. So the greatest gift of God that we so often overlook and we're so tempted to take for granted is this gift of God in Jesus Christ. And yet our faith responds with thanks to God. Looking again at the way we've ordered our worship. So we have that time of confession. We hear the words of absolution. And what is the very next thing we do as a congregation, as the people of God? It's the hymn of praise. We respond to hearing those sweet words, your sins are forgiven. Your sins, though they were like scarlet, are now white as snow. We respond with that hymn of praise, praising God for what he's done for us in Christ Jesus. Faith in God responds with thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.